In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On Christmas morning, we will hear these words written by the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, found at the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We likewise confess in the Nicene Creed that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Jesus is God. He is eternal. He has existed before creation itself was made, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Yet, of course, there are not three eternal gods, but one eternal God. As the Scriptures plainly testify, Jesus was not only present when all things were made, it was through Him that all things were made. And so we heard this evening from the beginning of Hebrews, through the Son also God created the world. On Christmas morning, we will also hear these words written by the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We also confess in the Nicene Creed, likewise, that the Lord Jesus Christ, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. In the fullness of time, Jesus, the eternal God, became man, born in time. In Bethlehem of Judea, over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling cloths, and laid in a manger. It was neither the Father nor the Holy Spirit who became man. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. But the Son became man. The Son is man. The Son now and forevermore is man. He died for us and shed His blood for us. So we also heard this evening from the beginning of Hebrews, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things. Jesus Christ is true God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and He is true man, born from the substance of His mother in this age. He is two natures, divine and human, united in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was present at the beginning of creation, for all things were made through Him, and He was present in the womb of His mother, the Virgin Mary, from the moment the angel Gabriel visited her and spoke to her. But what about during all those centuries in between creation and His incarnation? What was Jesus doing in the meantime? Was He idle? Was He biding His time? Was He simply sitting in heaven waiting patiently for the chance to come to earth and be the Savior? The New Testament says no. In the Gospel of John, Jesus testifies that He appeared to Abraham and brought him joy. John, in the same book, also writes that Isaiah saw Christ's glory and spoke to Him. Jude writes in his little epistle that Jesus saved the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And similarly, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes that it was Jesus who was with Israel and led them as they wandered in the wilderness. From the testimony of Holy Scripture itself, we see that the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, was by no means idle in that time between creation and His incarnation. Rather, throughout the centuries, the Son of God was present with His people. Present, as the author of Hebrews puts it, as the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. In other words, the Son of God, who would in time become flesh and dwell among us, manifested himself in visible form to his people of old throughout those years leading up to his incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Therefore, it was Jesus who, for example, wrestled with Jacob. It was Jesus who spoke to Gideon and Samson's parents in the book of Judges. It was Jesus who showed his glory to Isaiah. And it was Jesus who, as we heard tonight, spoke to Moses from the burning bush. It was Jesus who came to his people of old, even before the name Jesus had been revealed by the angel. Later in the book of Exodus, the Lord, who revealed his name to his people of old as Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh would say to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." We are sinners. God is perfectly holy. It is therefore impossible for us to look upon the holy God's face and live. And yet, in all those Old Testament encounters with the Son of God that I just mentioned, there were in fact people who saw Yahweh. And they did not die. And in nearly every case, those who saw Yahweh expressed surprise, even shock, that they were still living, even after seeing God. How can this be? God is true. His word is true. He never lies. He never contradicts himself. So how is it possible that sinful people saw the Lord and still lived? The answer is that, well, there is one and only one God, Yahweh. There is a distinction between the Yahweh who is seen and the Yahweh who is unseen. The seen Yahweh of the Old Testament is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, before he became man. From the very beginning, the Son of God is the Yahweh who is seen. And he is called throughout the Old Testament the angel of Yahweh, the name of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh, the glory of Yahweh. He made himself known to his people. He manifested himself to them, and they lived. But not only is the Lord Jesus, the angel of Yahweh, the God who is seen, he is the God who sees. The first time the angel of Yahweh is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 16, when Hagar is fleeing from Sarai, her mistress. The angel of Yahweh visits her and promises her a son. And upon hearing this promise, Hagar calls the name of Yahweh who spoke to her, quote, "You are a God of seeing." A few chapters later in Genesis, the angel of Yahweh calls to Abraham from heaven, just as he is about to sacrifice his son Isaac. He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And in our first lesson today from Exodus chapter 3, the angel of Yahweh said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters." Truly, the angel of Yahweh, the Son of God, is a God of seeing. He sees his people's lowliness and affliction. He sees their faith and the fruits of faith, obedience. He sees their suffering and their oppression. The angel of Yahweh is the God who is seen. He is the God who sees. But furthermore, he is the God who saves. He saw Hagar in her loneliness and affliction, and so he blessed her with the promise of a son and a multitude of offspring that could not be numbered. He saw the faith and the obedience of Abraham. And then he provided a ram for him to offer up as a burnt offering instead of his son. He saw the suffering and oppression of his people Israel in Egypt. And he came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Truly, the angel of Yahweh is not just a God who is seen, not just a God of seeing, but the God of salvation. Now, you may remember that the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt was mentioned in our Old Testament lesson on Sunday. In Jeremiah, we heard, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt,' but 'As the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land.'" The Lord's deliverance of Israel out of the land of Egypt was a monumental act of salvation. And yet there would be a far greater salvation to come, when God would deliver all those who were in slavery to sin, to death, to the power of the devil. Yahweh saw the suffering. He saw the oppression of his people, all people, for he is the creator of all. Yahweh saw that mankind was lost and condemned to eternal suffering in hell for their sins and transgressions. Having seen his people, he undertook salvation for his people. He came down to earth to deliver his people by becoming one of them. The angel of Yahweh, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, partook of flesh and blood, becoming man, born of the Virgin Mary, that by his bodily death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and by his bodily resurrection he might open the way of salvation to the heavenly promised land to all who receive him, who believe in his name. What the angel of Yahweh did for the children of Israel long ago, bringing them out of slavery in Egypt to dwell in the promised land of Canaan, he accomplished in a greater and more lasting way for all the true offspring of the house of Israel. Offspring who are born not of the will of flesh nor of the will of man, but of God. Offspring who are children of the promise, who come from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Offspring who share their father Abraham's faith. How wonderful it is that he should be given the name Jesus, for he, the Lord, has saved his people from their sins. And after making purification for their sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the created angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And yes, this is true of the Son of God eternally. Being God, he is and always has been superior to the angels he made, because he, Jesus, the Son of God, is divine. But now he is exalted far above all angels as man. He, who shares our human nature, is as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited, Yahweh, is more excellent than theirs. It is he, true God and true man, whom the angels of God worship. And it is he, true God and true man, who is not ashamed to call you his brothers. For it was not the angels that he delivered from sin and death, but you. You whom he has called to inherit salvation. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has done from the beginning, what he has done throughout history, as the angel of Yahweh, as the Son of Mary, he continues to do and will do even to the very end of the age. He sees his people, and he saves them. He saw you, when you were enslaved to sin and doomed to death, both now and eternally. And so he saved you by becoming man and redeeming you by his holy precious blood. He sees you in your lowliness, in your affliction. He sees you in your sorrow and oppression. He sees your faith, the faith which his Holy Spirit has created in you. And having seen you, he comes to you bringing salvation. By his word, by his sacrament, he works salvation for you, that you might inherit eternal life and dwell with him forever. And therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit is ever one God, now and eternally. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.